Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. She's about your age. And I immediately thought, like, well, we haven't discussed how old I am, so what's the obvious follow-up question? Oh, how old do you think I am? Okay. All right. Here comes the answer. She responds, oh, about 50. And I replied, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
That
no,
is not that wrong.
But you were caught off guard by the number, it sounded?
I thought the response would be 40s.
It might have been better if she'd even said approaching 50.
Everybody's approaching
because
it.
Because about 50 could be, yeah, you're somewhere between 46 and 52.
You're right.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hello. I'm 46.
46. Happy birthday.
You know what I thought about yesterday? That's being 46 is not shocking. What's shocking is, Josh, how old are you?
26.
Yeah. I started sitting in this chair when I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really messed up. Why are you guys all still listening to me? Why am I here? How is this possible?
Mm-hmm.
I was 25 when I sat down here with Howard.
Does it feel the same?
Well, the Sabres are bad.
Room looks the same.
The room. We've got a bet board. And there's a Gene Steratore cutout.
Yeah,
what else? Right. I didn't.
Blues Brothers poster, I think, might have been here.
It might have been. 21 years ago, I wasn't so mad at Gene Steratore all the time. We didn't have a wide receiver big board 21 years ago.
No, I don't think.
I think we're going to keep
that. Are we sure about that?
We're going to keep that there for about 21 more years, by the way.
This is the first time I've ever gone to that famous birthdays website and not seen a TikTok or YouTuber at the number one.
That's because the resume is too good. The list is too good.
Well, there's only one person that precedes a list of TikTok and YouTubers after. Mm. Messi.
Messi's birthday's today?
Messi's birthday's. Wait a minute. No, is delayed a day.
I would have known that.
They haven't updated today's birthdays yet. It still says today's birthdays are the 24th.
Yeah, Messi. Yeah, I would have known
Hold
Messi.
On.
I don't think there's anybody who can sneak by me. I know my roster.
Okay, no, your top six are all TikTok / YouTubers until you get to George Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you start rolling with some Ricky Gervaises after that.
Happy birthday, Jonas Enroth. Happy birthday, Carlos Delgado. Sonia Sotomayor. Happy birthday, the late Anthony Bourdain.
Yep. There's
George Orwell, too.
George Orwell.
Wow.
We got a squad.
Legend.
It's a squad. And I've got a couple friends that share this birthday with me. I'm 46. Happy birthday to me.
Yep. If you have friends that share the same birthday, are you more likely to go out to celebrate your birthday every year?
Sometimes. I would say in both cases of the people that I know that share a birthday with me, it was more meeting them along the way and then, oh, we have the same birthday. And then you kind of, I don't know, click and you become friends off that. Acquaintances, friends, whatever.
Source of the friendship would be that you had the same birthday?
It can sometimes be a nice, icebreaker point. You're out for your birthday. Oh, it's my birthday too. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
I see. Okay. Right.
That's happened a couple times. Anyway, happy birthday to me. It's my birthday, which means a few things. One, you have to be nice to me today. In the chat, you have to be nice to me. Number two, I'm not going to get shouty, yelly, mad at the Sabres today.
I think as it being your birthday, you have the right to if you want to.
I don't think a grown man should be as angry. I say this, I watched the afternoon show and listened to the afternoon show, and I was just like, yeah, all that stuff, everything you guys said. But since it's my birthday today, I'm not going to lose control about the Sabres. About a Sabres press conference.
Right.
Not even like an outcome. But, man, that was pretty rough. We're going to talk to Paul at 7 o'clock. Paul at 7. 100 holes is tomorrow for me, so we've got Simon Bennett 8:30 tell us about, you know, the history of the 100 holes as we get going, try to raise some more money for our causes, and you know, just hang out,
mm-hmm. Have some fun.
Yep. So anyway, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Give us a ring. You can say happy birthday and give us a take on the Sabres. For my birthday, fill the phone lines so we can talk and we can, I don't know, figure out what we're going to do with this hockey team. Yesterday was...
I can't promise that I won't lose control at some point over the course of today.
To me, yesterday was a great example of, I listened to the press conference and, mm-hmm. you know, sports, one of the things that sports is a monoculture. We all take in the same thing and then talk about it. It's kind of like The Sopranos or Game of Thrones.
Yep.
This is the Sabres show. Around here, everybody watches this show. And I watched yesterday's episode, and I came out of that episode thinking, man, wow. I mean, everything about what was said is the wrong tone to take. Mm-hmm. My nuts. The GM kind of approaches everything in some defiant, who are you? Who is anyone to doubt me? Mindset. Like, where'd that come from? What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought how, you know, when we talked to Brandon Bean, he's defiant about the draft, but he's earned it.
Right.
You can be defiant. He's got, we did this well. We did this well. What are you guys worried about? And even if we don't agree, you kind of have to say, like, well, I mean, you know, he's passionate about what he's built, and he's passionate about these decisions, and it's not all been exactly right. But the guy, hey, the guy's got a resume. The guy's got some wins on the card. I mean, not a Super Bowl, but whatever. Like, you can bring the receipts, mm-hmm. and the Sabres GM cannot do that.
No, is it two of every three times there's a press conference that there is something that is off-putting?
Yeah.
How often is it? Like, taxes and palm trees maybe swallows everything whole and makes it seem like
I don't know,
it happens
I feel like
all the time, but it's starting to happen a lot, I think.
Yeah. Well, the news is Paterka has asked for a trade.
100%.
Can we all now say,
yes,
the agent is posturing, they don't have to do anything, but we all know mm-hmm. all the stuff, all the smoke about Paterka is real.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to November, when we started to kind of talk about that. Adams would not answer about Paterka, and that's, you know, he doesn't want to lie, okay? So he didn't. He said, I don't want to talk about it.
And in that, he basically told the truth without really telling the truth, because did not do a great job of hiding it at all.
No.
If there was, maybe he doesn't care. If there was a goal in that press conference to not confirm to everybody that Paterka has asked for a trade, they absolutely did not do that yesterday.
Right.
Under no circumstance did they do that. I mean, it might be tough because they did talk the way about Alex Tuch the way you might have hoped they would talk about Paterka, right? Like, oh, we've talked to him and he wants to be here and be a part of the solution. Like, no, we heard you talk about two separate players in the same press conference in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any hiding it. And I wonder if the source of the, you know, the attitude or the tone that came across about misinformation in Matias Samuelsson was actually frustration about the Paterka situation. That, you know, misinformation, like, I'm not going to say that the Paterka stuff is misinformation because it doesn't sound like it is. So, but I'm angry about it, so I'm going to take it out on you because of this other Samuelsson blurb that got mentioned earlier in the week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's the same reporter.
You're yelling about something that you can yell about.
Right, yeah. And it's the same reporter. So, right, but just my biggest holdup is the Samuelsson part of it. To not have the sense that your fans are not mad about misinformation about Samuelsson. That might have been the highlight of their week as a Sabre fan, was the idea that he might no longer play for the team. He's got to be the most unpopular player on the roster.
It's up there.
If he's not number one, he's on the list.
The other players that would be listed below him are players that maybe people don't know are on the roster.
Right. Lafferty or somebody. So the idea that, okay, they are fed up with him and are ready to move on for a buyout that is basically a rounding error on their salary cap. Like, I think that was met with
mocking. It was mocked. The concept was mocked.
And the concept of them buying him out.
The concept of them
was
buying him out was mocked. We haven't had that conversation once, and that's not fair to Sammy or something like that. Like, that's.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the concept was mocked. The funny thing about the Samuelson thing is, what was it, Monday, that we kind of bent over backwards thinking, what if they thought ahead so far ahead that they envisioned this buyout? It actually, the concept of buying out Samuelson, they don't have to do it. Maybe they don't want to buy him out because they're going to trade him for a second-round pick, and it's a free second-round pick. Who knows? But we bent over backwards trying to think, could they have thought so far ahead thinking that a buyout here wouldn't be that bad if it's not going well? Because the buyout's not bad at all. And then the other side of it was, I joked to you that maybe the buyout dead cap number isn't high enough. And they'd like it better if it were higher.
Uh-huh.
Like a Skinner that's $4 million dead cap and $6 million dead cap, which next year Skinner's 6.4. Are they happy about dead caps? Who knows? Anyway, that's budget stuff. But, man.
Well, there's a huge money part of it, too. Like, there's no credit given to the idea, to the fact that they would even consider it. Like, and I don't believe that. Does anyone believe that? That they didn't bring it up for 30 seconds in a meeting?
I think I believe that they did not discuss it.
Not even one time.
Well, when there here's the thing.
Because that to me is a problem, that you have a player that is that poor and you have a way out. And no, what, people afraid to mention it in the room?
They didn't buy out Sobotka, and he was one of the worst forwards in the league.
Did they talk about it, though?
I don't. Who knows?
You should at least discuss these things.
Right.
I would think. You think. When a player is falling way short of what you paid him to do, that's like, I don't. We'll talk to Paul about this. Like, what is the defense for keeping him around? For not even being willing to consider it, and enough to be mad that it would be out there that you would be willing to consider it? It's incredible. Over that player? I mean, in the money part of it, if you buy him out right now, what do you owe him? You owe him $7 million?
Yep.
And yes, it's spread out over 10 years.
Over 10 years.
If you wait till next year to buy out Matias Samuelson, just hypothetical, and this is more even for like the Pegula end of it, and that maybe not wanting to spend a lot of money.
It doubles, right?
Well, the buyout doubles, but add in the $4.285 million that you're going to pay him this year. So money you're going to pay to Matias Samuelson. You buy him out right now, it's $7.1 million. The buyout's 11, and you're paying 0.4, and you're paying him 4.2. So you're approaching $16 million paid to him just by waiting a year and buying him out next year.
It feels like that's the kind of thing they maybe should discuss.
It almost feels like a layup.
Yeah.
Unless you believe the player is way better than everybody else does, or way more important than everybody else does.
There's that word, believe. We believe. I believe. I mean, it's tough because the Sabres, as an organization, have been defined by inaction and simply believing things will get better. That's a lot of what they do. I believe in this. And not to shift away from Samuelson, we can get there, but belief in UPL and Levi. I believe in them. I have all the belief in the world in them. I almost want to follow up. How much belief do you have in Connor Hellebuck? Yeah. There is some goalies are good and some goalies are not good and some goalies you're not sure about. Believing in UPL and Levi is not a strategy. That's what they did this past year.
For them, hasn't it been?
It has been.
It has not been their strategy.
It's not a strategy. Believing in UPL and Levi, that's what they did this year. And Levi couldn't stay in the NHL.
Right.
And UPL had a terrible year. And in key moments, they rode James Reimer down the stretch.
Right.
James Reimer down the stretch, who basically moved their draft position from, like, what, 6th to 9th? And yesterday, Jerry Fortin says they got, like, 7 players they like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks to James Reimer. I'm not sitting here telling you they should have tanked. But they turned to James Reimer, a guy that got waived, and then they got him back. We believe in UPL and Levi. It's just kind of tough. It's really tough to see a professional sports organization run in such a way that they should be as embarrassed as any team in the professional sports sphere about their results for more than a decade, and they're still kind of defiant about it. We haven't even gotten to what I thought was the low point of the press conference. And, you know, were there high points?
Of the press conference?
Yeah, was there a good moment?
I guess an indication that Tuck is wanting to stay long term.
Sure.
I feel like that
could change. I mean, like he might have said, like, I'd love to be here. Let's see how the year goes and let's get into the year and have a conversation about it. Because what happens if a year from now they're talking about a rebuild? He's not gonna want to be around for that. Nobody's gonna want to be around for that.
Right.
If a year from now Dahlin gets fed up and he wants to go, then Tuck's gonna say, like, then I'm definitely gonna go. You know? And I don't know if we should plan on everybody jumping ship. But then there's a new GM in theory. Who knows? Anyway, the low point for me in the press conference yesterday was kind of near the end. As we went along, and there's some things that are unintentionally funny that we will have some fun with. And I will say 1,000 times throughout this process, they could make the playoffs next year. It's not exactly supposed to be that hard. You just make a couple moves. Like, if you went through the NHL's history and found teams that finished with 78 points, 79 points, and then made the playoffs next year, it's not nuts at all. They could make the playoffs next year. Part of my concern, part of what I guess I would worry about, if they make the playoffs, does Kevin Adams feel like he's crowned? Does he get a decade? Because the job...
He might have that anyway.
Right, that's right. The job used to be, can this GM get us to a championship?
Right.
And now, like, can you imagine the Sabres as good and Adams being shrewd enough to make the moves to get them to the very, very top when most of their plans are just, we believe in this player that's already here. I know his hands are tied on a number of things when it comes to free agency, when it comes to no trade clauses, no movement clauses, but man, it's all just kind of this, I've said it before, they're a second tier soccer team that needs to get promoted. That they have been relegated and they need to get promoted to the playoffs. And for them, that is the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup for the Sabres is making the playoffs. And we kind of have to accept that is it until further notice. If they're able to do that, that's the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
It's either that or a right shot defenseman is their Stanley Cup. Because they've been talking about that for 10 years.
Yeah.
A right shot defenseman. Maybe they'll get a right shot defenseman. Anyway, it's my birthday. I'm not supposed to get this snarky. But, all right, the low point. I want to play one clip from this press conference. We'll play more throughout the day. To me, the low point, this brought me back to the Kruger days. Oh, there's a moment in this press conference that brings me back to the Kruger days. And that's kind of near the end. Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News asks a very good, very important, very, hey, let's all talk about one thing here kind of question.
Okay.
And that is,
yep.
You guys were bad and nothing happened. Here's the clip and then Adam's answer.
Had a 79-point season, and essentially the only thing you traded out was a strength and conditioning coach. That's, to be frank, is odd. I mean, you're not going to fire the coach. He just got here. You've been here a while. No assistant GMs moved. No assistant coaches moved. Do you get the sense that why people think that's usual and you're just running things back from the same unit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about what people think or... I don't pay attention to noise or outside perspective. I think I've been pretty clear. I'll do whatever I believe is right to help the organization, which is something that we've backed up over the years in terms of whether it's coaching changes or, like you just mentioned, a complete new strength conditioning, adding Yarmo, adding Eric Staal. I mean, Eric Staal has just left a meeting that had incredible, in my mind, perspective and, you know, the way he articulates, this is a really big addition to our staff. So, you know, and I think I just said that if there's an upgrade to make in the coaching staff that Lindy or I felt was going to help our team, then we would do it. Not worried about, you know, what people may think. This is about us doing the best we can in our minds to put the best team on the ice and best staff.
It's a long answer. There's a couple things in there that jump out. But the thing that took me back to the Kruger days was I remember keying in on Kruger at one point because he said of fan unrest and fan anger, it doesn't cross my desk. And I remember that day, I'd like to find my tweet on it. I don't understand why professional sports organizations, and the Sabres especially do this a lot. Bottrell, fans want the coach fired? Kruger, it doesn't cross my desk. Adams, I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't listen to the outside world. I mean, we're talking about your fans here, not just outside observers. And I don't know, and I can never understand why the Sabres, especially for years and years and years and years, think it's a good message to say, I don't care or hear anything from the outside. I will never understand why anybody thinks, any GM could sit up there and think, that is a good thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear it. Wow. You don't hear it? Then
yeah.
Open the windows down there. It's insulting.
Yeah.
The fans.
It's to tell your fans that, hey, you're screaming into a void. I don't hear it.
It's to tell your fans, what are you mad about? I don't listen to that. Who cares about that? It's the old, if you're listening to the fans, you're going to sit with them, that old adage, which is, of course, not really true. We don't live in a world where every sports fan is an idiot. Some of us are, myself included, sometimes. But I will never understand it. I'll never. You need someone in a PR role to help there.
Right.
I don't hear it. You don't hear it. I'll never forget. I mentioned those two, that botch roll clip and that Kruger clip. And here's Adams adding his own. I don't really listen to outside noise. You definitely do. You brought up Samuelson. You definitely
well,
listen to outside noise.
He listens to outside noise from maybe the outside, but again, maybe it's not enough of your own customer base because you didn't know that they you thought they would be upset by the misinformation about Samuelson.
Right. I feel bad for our fans because of trade rumors.
Right.
It's really what
so
it is.
So maybe it is that the fan part of it doesn't cross his desk,
maybe.
Which is the most insulting part of it.
Right. And if for an organization that's, you know, tried to mend their relationship with their fans, and the Granato years accomplished that. And how did they do that? Granato was pretty honest. Granato was really welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
He was, when we would talk to him on the air, he would be very, very just whatever. Agreeable.
It's more forthcoming.
Understanding. Right. Very open and honest. Very transparent. And now they're kind of back to not that at all. And Adams, you know, when I think back to when he started and he got the job, there was a humility and an earnestness. We knew he was inexperienced, but right when he got the job, maybe it's because people were lined up to, you know, bash Eichel with a bat.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of like, all right, you know what? Like, he cares, and there's no doubt he still cares, but there was an earnestness there. And now, like, the humility and the earnestness is gone, and it's defiance, and it's, I don't hear that, outside noise, distractions. And
then to also follow that up with, oh, no, strength and conditioning coach. Right. And
Eric
should
Stahl.
Have heard Eric Stahl in the meeting.
Eric Stahl and Yarmo. Like, I don't think there's anything bad about Eric Stahl and Yarmo joining the staff. But again, it's off-season number six. It's off-season number six.
Yeah.
And you're saying, you know, we just had a meeting where Eric Stahl gave such great perspective. And I don't dispute that might have happened, but it sounds like my girlfriend lives in Canada. You know, it sounds like you should see. You should have heard about
this.
She
goes to another school.
Yeah, she goes to another school. You should hear. Oh, you should have seen exactly what just happened. I mean, it was brilliant.
Speaking of which, did we find this out for sure yesterday? It just kind of came about that the Sabres have an assistant coach and their two most experienced people in the front office that all work remotely and don't live in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't go to the building day to day.
Which how
Kekalainen lives in Columbus, Karmanos lives in Pittsburgh, and there's an assistant coach that lives somewhere else. Like, just I don't know if that matters. Just
yeah. there's a lot of remote work out there.
I guess. Just there was a lot of things that might have been 50th on the list, but part of me does want to feel bad for him on some level of even that part of it. You're going into the office. Who's there? I don't know how many people are helping him with messaging, and Yarmo's not there, and Karmanos isn't there when you go into work that day. Like, you were probably underqualified for the job in the first place, and it feels like you're just kind of on your own trying to do it. And every press conference just makes me think this job is just too much for him. This job specifically here, it is too much for this guy.
I don't know that I think that because I don't know that anybody else given the job would be given the resources to do it in the right way. I mean, look at the front office. You just mentioned, like, he just hired two new people to work remotely. How many people worked there before? Not enough.
Not a lot.
Not enough. All right. Here we are. It's my birthday.
It's his birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Should order a cake. It's usually something you do ahead of time, though. You'll probably have cake later. You don't want to do cake twice in one day.
That
anyway.
That is usually the kind of thing you do ahead of time.
Will you have a cake later?
I don't know.
You a big cake eater?
Possibly. Oh, you call me Adam Banks now?
No.
Cake eater?
Who's Adam Banks?
What?
Hmm? Adam Banks?
Yeah. Cake eater?
Don't know him.
You do. This is sure? a, this is a yes, you do. It's before 7 a.m. It's not ringing.
Oh,
for you.
You're right. You're
okay.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
The looks from Owen and Josh. Like, oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. Give him a minute. He knows.
It also has been so long since I've seen the Mighty Ducks.
Okay. Sure. But Cake Eater is very much
Yeah, that's right. It's early.
Showing our hockey chops here. 803-0550. A lot of folks already in the chat fired up, bringing comments. We'll definitely check in with the bullpen today. That's one of my birthday wishes, is to check in on what's going on in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that today. We'll talk to Paul at 7 o'clock. We'll, you know, talk about all of it, I suppose. It's 803-0550 to join us. I don't know if people will call about this or if it's just kind of like, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's how it goes. Yep.
We like to hear you vent, though.
It's fine. Yeah.
Call in
you
and vent.
You should have heard Stahl in this meeting. I'm not even saying it's not true. It's just the kind of thing. Okay. It's AC on the chat points out. Girlfriend lives in Canada is actually very believable in Buffalo, and that's probably true, you know, so fair enough. Anyway, what do we do with it all? What are we supposed to do?
I got some numbers, by the way, on that claim that, oh, we fire coaches that Adams made there.
All right. Jeremy and Joe, Josh is here, Owen's here, we're hanging out. It's beautiful. It's a little cooler today. Not as humid, not as hot, but still, you know, right here in the thick of summer in late June. Give us a ring, 803-0550.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you want, you know, throw anything our way, we'd be happy to have you here on WGR.
It's important to have people in your organization, players, coaches, staff, that believe in what you're doing and want to be here for the right reason. And paying someone more money, hoping that they'll make them happy, isn't usually a recipe for success. You know, you have to have players that buy into and believe what you're doing and wake up every day in Buffalo excited to be a Sabre. I think that's important. In saying that, are there hard conversations with times? Are players at times frustrated with things? Absolutely. And that's part of the relationship building that I believe in from my job through the coaches, having those conversations. There's hard days too where players are frustrated or I'm frustrated. But that doesn't mean you just, because a player is upset at that day and you're just trading them.
The Sabres general manager, Kevin Adams, from yesterday's press conference. I had briefly forgotten about the idea that paying players more money won't necessarily make them happy.
Ugh.
Ian Rappaport here. Guys, sources tell me that this team has decided not to offer the player more money than its other teams, but just, you know, that they've actually given that player a talk and how money doesn't bring happiness. Sorry, I don't know what the NFL
I can't say the thing about, well, it's been years since he said the players who want to be here thing.
It really,
He did say it.
He did drop the players that want to be here, but even to say, oh man, like, is that a new, I forget, like, what
the money part of that is just like, that is excuse making for not spending, why we're not going to spend, right?
Yeah, that's an incredible spin about not spending. Well, I mean, giving a guy more money is not going to make him happy if he doesn't want to be here. Okay, people take jobs for money. People take jobs and then do those jobs well for money. That's what jobs are.
Isn't that how you get great players to come when you're not that good yet?
The thing about money.
Why did Mario Williams come to Buffalo? They offered him $100 million.
Right. And he liked the deers in the backyard.
That too.
But this just occurs to me. Where's Mitch Marner going to play? I don't know. Does Mitch Marner wake up loving being a Vegas Golden Knight? No. Does he wake up loving being a member of the insert other teams here? What he loves is hockey. And he wants to go to a team where the hockey is good and they pay him a lot and they win a lot of games. The idea that you...
Likes the logo.
The idea that you're going to like, we got to have someone that loves being a Buffalo Sabre. Did Jason Zucker until 364 days ago love being a Buffalo Sabre? These people love hockey. Alex Tuck loved the Buffalo Sabres growing up. Did Tage Thompson? Did Rasmus Dahlin?
Mm-hmm.
They loved the sport. You are in the sport and employ players from the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And to suggest, again, like maybe we should, he's not the guy to be mad at here because it's all incredible just glossing over the reasons we don't spend. It's really what it is.
Right.
These are the reasons we don't spend. A little more money's not going to make that guy happy. No, it might make him sign on the dotted line. And if you do enough of those players who all love to play hockey would do so on a team, which is something else that hockey players love to do, play on a team. And all these things that they love are built in. If they don't love it, it's because of something that you did wrong as a professional right. sports organization.
Right.
Or maybe they don't like Winnipeg or Buffalo. There can be some players like that. Again, most of the players that come to play in this league are born in cold places. This is not Deontay Johnson saying he didn't want to go to a football game because it was 41 degrees.
Right. This league, we're still 64% or something still are from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
They love the sport. You're in the best league. And you get to pay them money to play it for you and try to win. You got to wake up loving Buffalo? Okay.
Who is that describing?
It's Alex Tuck. It's really only Alex Tuck.
It's just Alex Tuck.
And we don't even know if that's true anymore.
Right. It maybe was true. And is it true now? He's still an individual never signed a contract with the Buffalo Sabres.
Right. I mean, you could say Rasmus Dahlin loves it, but it's a little bit like, you know, the Seinfeld bit, we all root for laundry. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe, by the way. How are you? Happy Wednesday. Kevin Adams spoke for a while yesterday. We'll talk about it with Paul Hamilton at 7. We'll get some football stuff in as well. But Josh Allen loves being a Buffalo Bill. What if he was drafted by Denver? He'd love being a Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
He loves football. And then you go to an environment where you win, you play well, you meet the fans, you move into a city and you start to love the city. Mm-hmm. Or you start to love the team. This idea that, like, oh, did Sam Lafferty just, like, hey, I called my agent. I was like, I don't want to hear offers for more money. I love being a Buffalo Sabre. It's Connor Clifton.
Right.
What even is this pitch?
Well, really, like, the pitch, I think, is really, maybe he's talking more about the players that are already here. And, like you mentioned, Allen falls in love with the environment and everything once he's here. Whereas, J.J. Paterka, how come you're not doing that? But again, that's look in the mirror.
Yeah, right.
There is very good reasons why somebody could play a few years for you and not be falling in love with the idea of being a Buffalo Sabre as the experience is ongoing for them. What? How could they?
Right. They could make the playoffs.
How could they?
And we celebrate.
And then it'd be different.
Maybe. Or maybe it'd be different. Like teams that make the playoffs. Players leave those teams too.
Right.
Players leave all these teams.
It's just more excuse making for why they're going to lose good players and why they're not going to replace them with people that are good because those people cost money. Right? It's a hamster wheel. They're just going to they're going to trade this guy. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're going to trade him because we don't want anybody that even doesn't want to bleed blue and gold. You even are thinking about no, you're out. We're good. We don't need you. Don't want to be here. We don't want you to be here.
Yep.
Like just, I don't know. Very quick to that. And remind. It's just, is it a bad precedent to set? I'm thinking about like, you ever have a high school job where like everybody like you work with a bunch of friends and like everybody hates the job.
Yep.
But and you talk about every time you're there like, oh man, this job stinks. But you keep doing it. And then that first person quits, and then everybody else has quit within a couple of months after that first person has quit. It's like, oh, you know, Johnny quit, so maybe, you know, I think it's time. That could be this.
Yeah.
I hope it's not, but are Dahlin and Tage are going to, in a year, look back on, well, you know, if I do want out, it looked pretty seamless for JJ. He got out pretty easily. We could talk about precedents, but you know, if you played a little hardball here and they're thinking that in the future, it's, you know, look how they dealt with JJ on that. Again, this is, it sounds like though you are trapping these players, but aren't we all trapped? Isn't everybody trapped in this thing? Everybody's trapped. The players are trapped. The fans are trapped. It's a trap. The whole thing. And just everyone's trying to claw out of it together. So, all right, you're trapped. Like, get in line. Paterka. Like, everybody feels trapped probably with this team. Because there's no... I just don't know where you're going to find a list of players that are going to fit the description that Adams just gave, which is they just want to badly be a Buffalo Sabre. You're not going to find that.
Right. You're not. Not very often.
Patrick Kane is from here, and he said no.
Multiple times.
So if you can go find another guy who grew up a Sabre fan somewhere in the league, I don't know.
It's just not realistic. I mean, here you
Marcus Foligno grew up a Sabre fan. He talked like he'll never come back here.
Mitch Marner's dream is to play for the Leafs, and he's probably going to leave because they were, you know, it's not the dream you think it is when all the pressure comes in.
And that's right.
And that's a team with high standards.
That's right.
Here we are. You know, most of this yelling at ourselves and yelling at each other about this is we just want the Sabres to just be normal. Can you just be normal? Mm-hmm. Just be a regular team.
I do think there would be... It wouldn't feel this frustrating, even with the losing, if it just felt like there was a major push made to end it all. To end this streak. To end this era. And it doesn't. That's the biggest problem is not winning. But the next biggest problem is you don't ever feel like they're desperate to end it. Right?
No.
Like, it feels like they're... What? They're a mom and pop shop.
And
in a professional sports league that I don't like. I pulled up a list yesterday when Adams said that about how, like, oh, we fire coaches, you know, like when asked about Harrington, the clip we played. And like, dude, there are 9 teams in the league that have done this more than you have. Fired coaches and general managers. The Sabres have this reputation of, oh, they never give anybody a chance and they're always too quick on the trigger. When maybe many times they've been too slow at it. And, you know, they've had 10 GMs and head coaches during this playoff drought. In that time, Edmonton's had 16. Philly's had 13. Calgary's had more. Toronto's had more. Florida, Vancouver, New Jersey, Columbus, Ottawa.
Those are all teams that have had more success, too.
A lot of them. Yeah, right.
All of them.
Edmonton and Florida have been in the finals 2 years in a row. And they've made more changes than the Sabres have in that time span. Like, you're not different. You're not special for... Or even, you're not firing people at the rate that it probably warrants. And a lot of that is what's happening right now, that this GM is going into his 6th season.
Alexander Mogilny got a call to the Hall of Fame.
Finally.
It's a good day for Sabres fans, right? He got the call, reading an article at NHL.com from Mike Zeisberger, our buddy. And there's the quote from Mogilny. He answers, he's grateful and thankful, says, it's 3 a.m. here. They called him at 3 a.m. Hello? You've made the Hockey Hall of Fame. Great. We made you wait 17 years and then called you at 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
By the way, if you get a call at 3 a.m., what are the chances you're waking up for the call? Isn't your ringer on silent?
Zero. I mean, I am never. Is there a function where someone can call you like it's an emergency call where it makes it ring?
Yeah, like isn't that urgency? Mogilny's got all the contacts that are allowed to actually ring at 3 a.m. and one of them is Hockey Hall of Fame. Let that call through.
Well, who is calling him? Is it like a former teammate? Like doesn't the NFL like get a little more ceremonial now?
Yes, they show up in person. The former NHL great, he serves as the 56-year-old Ron Francis.
Ron Francis chair, is the one who called him?
Chair of the Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee. So the message to Mogilny, who's currently president of his hometown team of the KHL, congratulations on being elected to the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, Mogilny in his phone is like, here are the people that are allowed to call me at 3 a.m., Ron Francis. Oh, it's Ron. It's 3 a.m.
All right.
Let's get a break in. If you want to jump on, 803-0550, you know, we can talk Mogilny and how great that is. That's great news. Long, long overdue. Alexander Mogilny going to the Hall of Fame. And Paul Hamilton, top of the hour. Randall, we'll get your call right on the other side here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Happy Wednesday. Happy birthday, Jonas Enroth and Carlos Delgado. Randall and Blaisdell. What's up, Randall?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Oh, fabulous. What happened to... first off, let's congratulate Mr. McGillney on his induction to the Hall of Fame. I think well overdue. My concern is with yesterday's press conference. We've got Mr. Pergulo who said, we're going to get some Stanley Cups here. I just don't understand why Mr. Adams is continually put in a position here of trying to make decisions when he can't make any decisions whatsoever. I don't know what's going on around him, but frankly, this team is imploding, and I don't know if the public really wants to support him anymore. You know, I think it's a great team, but at the same time, we need to do better. Management needs to do better because we would all be out of jobs with the way Kevin is doing his job. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Randall. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's almost the flip side of, there are people in town that want McDermott gone, and I would say, like, who are you going to get instead?
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be a coach that rated really highly at the top end, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you're going to just walk out the door and find a guy that's great. Where am I going with this? Go to the other side of the spectrum. I don't think there's too many people that, you know, would say Kevin Adams has done a great job. You might think he's hamstrung by a lot of different factors. But if they fired him, the question would be, who are you going to hire? And there would be lots of good ideas, and it would basically come down to, but who could you get? Yarmo. Kevin Adams yesterday said he had a lot of offers and he chose us. Okay. What was the offer? You get to stay where you are?
I was just going to ask, like, is that what convinced them that you can still live in Columbus?
Yeah, you're just going to be a remote advisor to us.
Which is, by the way, not like unheard of. Like,
no, not at all.
No.
Rick Dudley, right?
Rick Dudley lives in Lewiston, and he's been the Panthers' senior advisor for like 5 years now. So
let me tell you, I'd like to get one of those gigs. Consultant.
I think everyone's goal in life should just be to get to consultant
status. You know, you're walking up to the eighth green about to putt. Brung, brung. Yeah. Oh, hey, Kev. Yeah. Yeah. Love that trade idea. I'm on board. Boop. I'm going to make this birdie putt right here. I don't know if that's what you're almost doing, but that's the kind of gig I want.
Yeah.
You're just out there playing golf. Get a call. What do you think? Love it. Rubber stamp. Make the move.
Uh-huh.
I got to see one of these. No, I'll stop. It's fine. Consultant.
What would you most want to be a consultant for? Fantasy football consultant? On call at all times?
Golf apparel.
Golf apparel consultant?
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
Why not?
Paul Hamilton.
FaceTime
in.
Yeah. Paul Hamilton when we get back. What else? What else could I be a consultant for? I don't know, probably not much. Paul Hamilton, when we return, we'll get his thoughts on the press conference, things to take away from it. It was supposed to be about the draft, and there was some stuff in there about the draft.
There were draft questions.
Their willingness to move the pick and what they're going to do. It definitely did kind of set a tone for, I think, for don't expect a lot this offseason because, you know, some of the stuff that was suggested, I don't know, it just was not the right tone, really. A lot of it was not the right tone. We'll get Paul's thoughts, see what he thought of it. Paul Hamilton, coming up on the other side on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.